Demon in the Wires by Pandelion, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, the Yin Yang Master, Dream of Eternity. Pairing, Qingming, Boya. Boya has been hunting the virus down for nearly a week, with limited success. He has at least managed to corral it into the less immediately dangerous to life and health systems, though he keeps having to break off the active hunt to rewrite the firewalls around the air and water systems. The virus apparently really wants access to those. A week of trying to pin down the malignant code means a week of living with a replicator going haywire when he tries to order tea. The plum blossom wine he'd been served instead had been delicious, but not the oolong he'd ordered. The door is sticking halfway through opening and his workstation being infected by pop-ups that make him solve riddles before it will let him do his job.
"We can always just call in one of the master coders," Zhong Haotian suggests on the sixth day,
as Boya sips his plum blossom wine and stares at the riddle his workstation has served up this morning. It's trickier than the others have been, and Boya's having to take some time to actually consider the possible answers.
"If the virus is being this difficult..."
"No," Boya says after a moment. "There's no need to bother them with this. I can handle it." Zhong Haotian is practically exuding doubt, but he doesn't give voice to it. He just nods slowly and says,
"If you think it best, sir."
That's his way of saying that he thinks Boya is being an idiot. Sometimes Boya regrets letting Zhong Haotian attend those extra classes with the Brock.
"I know what I'm doing," Boya says, not looking away from the riddle long enough to meet Zhong Haotian's gaze.
He tries a smile, but Zhong Haotian's expression doesn't change, so it probably wasn't a very good one.
"It's a novel virus, but it's not aggressive. Not in a way that poses a danger to the ship or the crew. I can handle it."
Zhong Haotian's mouth flattens a little, but he nods.
"Very good, sir."
Boya nods back, and then returns his attention to the riddle. It's almost making sense to him, he thinks, if he... He scowls.
"You changed the wording, you bastard," he hisses at the workstation, like the virus could hear him.
The input detection light flickers, and it seems as smug as a light could possibly be. Boya drinks the rest of his wine in one swallow, sets the cup down perhaps a bit too forcefully, and leans over the keyboard.
"Take this, then," he mutters, hitting submit.
The screen doesn't change for a moment, as if the virus is considering his answer. Then it pulses green and fades into his normal workstation. Boya can't help the curl of vicious satisfaction at having matched the virus once more. He leans in, determined to cage the virus in a bit more today. The repairs to firewalls go quickly, Boya's familiarity with their structure having improved in leaps and bounds over the last week. Then he dives into the rest of the ship's code, carefully scanning through the subsystems and automatic routines for signs of the virus. He has yet to see any live code, but the virus tends to leave signs of its movements. Little tags and stranded bits of dead code that are left in its wake like footprints. It's enough to put together a sense of the virus's movements, and that helps as Boya writes a new code designed to keep the virus out of the ship's systems. The virus is a novel one, though it has some resemblances to code that Boya has seen in his textbooks. Bits of Guernica and the way it sheds unneeded code when it jumps systems. Parts of Yiling Laozu, in the disjointed, brain-bending way the virus is strung together. But it flows through the native code like no virus Boya knows of, almost as if it's able to mimic the native code and slip through without detection, a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's also more lively than any code Boya has worked with before. The viruses he's dealt with in the past had been cold, controlled things. They had objectives and tools to achieve them, and the viruses did exactly what they were programmed to do. This virus is more like playing hide-and-seek with a 4-year-old child,
all juvenile pranks and laughing taunts of, "Can't catch me," as Boya tries to chase it down. Except, if Boya were pressed to personify this virus, which is bad, his teachers had stressed that in every single course he took, had constantly talked about how personifying code led to mistakes and security breaches and dead ships and dead crew. He'd probably envisioned the virus closer to someone his own age. Old enough to drink plum blossom wine with him. Old enough to know how to gently tease rather than blatantly poke fun. Old enough to make judgment calls about which systems could be tweaked and interfered with without putting lives at risk. Boya kind of wants to meet the author of the virus, but he hasn't yet decided if he wants to ask for their autograph or punch them in the face. He works at his station for most of the day, taking breaks only to eat and go to the bathroom. It takes 4 tries to get the door to unlock and let him back out, but by the time his shift ends, he's managed to erect firewalls around an additional 6 systems. It's more progress than he made yesterday. The virus had kept him busy on the firewalls by coming behind and eating through the repairs. And it's narrowed down the places the virus could be hiding. For one, he's pretty sure he's locked it out of the replicators. Finally. He's less sure that he's managed to protect his workstation, but he won't be able to determine if the new firewalls are effective until the start of his next shift. When the next shift comes in, he hands off his workstation to Officer Wong. No riddle pops up to delay her work, he notes, but that's no different from the last 5 days, so probably doesn't mean anything. Dinner is a quiet, quick affair, with no surprises, and then Boya retires to his room to unwind a bit for bed. He does his evening calisthenics, then settles in with a book he's slowly working his way through. He enjoys reading, but Cathari doesn't translate terribly well into Galactic Standard, and he keeps having to reference the original work to understand the translated one. He's managed to reach the end of the chapter when the room lights dim for no reason. Sighing, Boya tips his head back to stare at the ceiling. Really? The lights flicker, making him roll his eyes. You're a terrible excuse for a virus, Boya mutters, but he puts his book down and goes to the terminal in his room. He'll just check that his firewalls are holding. If there are any actual security breaches, the on-shift tech can handle it, but Boya has always been hands-on with his work, even outside of his shifts. The firewalls all seem to be holding just fine, so he closes out of that and just stares at the blank screen, leaning back in his chair. It really is a terrible excuse for a virus, is the thing. Boya has been fighting it for a week, and he still has no idea what the virus's objective is. The dead code he's gathered is so fragmented and varied that they could be for almost any purpose. And the virus's actions so far have been scattered, opportunistic, and completely unpredictable. Well, Boya revises as an alert pops up on his screen. Unpredictable, except that he can always predict that it will do its best to inconvenience him. The alert is a minor breach on the holodeck. Boya is off shift. This isn't his responsibility, but also, he's off shift. He shouldn't be seeing that alert to his personal terminal to start with. Which means this is the virus's doing. Boya sighs and has a quick debate with himself on whether or not he should play into the virus's machinations so obviously, but in the end, professional pride wins out. Whether or not there is actually a breach on the holodeck, he'd never forgive himself for not going to look. He doesn't run into any obstacles on his way, which is suspicious enough after the last week, as is the fact that he doesn't run into anyone else. He stops halfway to the holodeck to reconsider, but then the hall lights dim and brighten, and he resumes moving with a muttered curse. At the holodeck, he enters his authorization to open Bay 3, where the breach is originating. The door slides open smoothly to admit him, and he steps in, careful, glancing around as if there might be physical evidence of whatever the virus is playing at now. The deck is active, the haze of hololight forming a forest scene. Tall trees with trunks thicker around than Boya could hold in both arms rise into obscurity above, while below the ground is covered in dead leaves and low greenery. There is a path through the trees, the exposed dirt paler than the mulch on either side. It's a monumentally stupid thing to do, Boya knows. But he steps into the hologram anyways, feet falling silently onto the path. He walks for a moment, the forest silent around him. Then the path makes a turn, and there's someone standing on the path in front of him. Boya stops, heart suddenly beating faster. He doesn't recognize the figure. The loose white robes are very much not standard issue. But he knows who this is anyway. He takes a breath to steady himself, hands clenching at his sides. Virus. A low, soft laugh as the man turns, hands hidden inside voluminous sleeves. Virus is such an ugly term, he says. His voice is pleasant, natural, mouth smiling around the words. You may call me Qingming, Boya. Why are you here? Here on the ship, in Boya's systems, in the holodeck. The man, Qingming, tilts his head a little. Because you are here, he says. Why would a bit of code care whether or not I'm here? Boya retorts. Because, personifying aside, code is code. It doesn't have feelings or opinions or preferences. It's not alive. A bit of code, Qingming echoes, still smiling that damnable smile. Is that all I am, Boya? And what else could you be? Boya demands. This ship runs on closed systems, and there's no way to interface with it remotely. The virus had probably infected them at their last sys stop, which had been a few days before Boya first noticed the virus's actions in the subsystems. They had spent several days at that station, with the ship connected to the station subnet. Qingming hums and steps closer, making Boya tense. Hard light holograms can still pack a punch, after all. Y'all, Qingming says simply. For a second, Boya doesn't understand, but then it clicks, and he forgets his wariness in favor of staring in surprise. What? Y'all, those aren't real. They're myths, he says. They don't exist. Qingming spreads his hands, still smiling as Boya splutters. The Yao were the boogeymen of the Galactic Federation. Rumors said that they could be made of physical matter one moment, then pure energy the next. They had an unparalleled ability to interface with technology of all kinds, accessing the systems at a level that bypassed any need for familiarity with the math and physics behind them. No one could agree on how many there were, whether it was a clan of at most 20 or 30 individuals, or whether they were an entire civilization that could populate a whole planet. It didn't really matter because they were also consummate tricksters and bringers of chaos. They were always blamed for ships that went dark unexpectedly, for crews that died off to leave only a single survivor, for the easy missions that ended up with the ship limping into safe port with barely a skeleton crew. For all the rumors, however, the Yao had never been officially encountered. The reports were always word of mouth. There were never any records of a Yao's presence. They lived in the gray spaces where rumors and half-truth existed. Qingming claiming to be a Yao is preposterous. Except it would explain quite a lot. The way the virus had snaked through the native code so deftly, how it kept getting into systems that Boya tried to lock down, the humor behind the pranks and the riddles. What would a Yao want with me? He asks. Because it's easier than arguing about whether or not the Yao are real to start with. I saw some of your work, Qingming says. On Seta Tarmine, I was intrigued. Seta Tarmine, that had been almost 2 years ago. The hydrogen farms of the Qatar Mine people had gone into catastrophic failure while Boya's ship had been in orbit for a resupply stop. Boya had nearly single-handedly rewritten the code to both arrest the system failures and to get them running again. It had taken him 4 days of minimal sleep, but the systems were still running on his code today. "Some of the leaps of logic you made were inspired," Qingming continues, "almost like a Yao. I wanted to meet the mind behind such code." Boya isn't sure if that's a compliment or not, but that doesn't stop the small bubble of pleasure at such recognition from expanding in his chest. "I'm really nothing special," he says. "I think that's not something you're allowed to judge for yourself," Qingming says, coming even closer. He's close enough that Boya could reach out and touch him, reach out and find out whether he is flesh and blood, or if he is just light woven so tight as to be tactile. He keeps his hands at his sides. "I certainly have not been disappointed. I've been trying to get rid of you," Boya says. Qingming smiles wider. "Yes, and you've been doing wonderfully for a human. Your mind is singular and intriguing." Pretty words, but Boya hears what Qingming isn't saying. "I'm never going to catch you," Boya says. And it's not a question. Qingming's smile gentles. "Not if you keep doing as you have been," he agrees, but it's not unkind. "It would take something very different from that for you to catch me." All of a sudden, Boya has the feeling that Qingming has been having an entirely other conversation this whole time. "You... but I'm willing to stick around until you figure it out," Qingming continues, and he leans in suddenly, dark eyes sparking with something golden as his mouth presses against Boya's for the space of a heartbeat. Boya has just long enough to register the soft warmth of Qingming's mouth before Qingming pulls back and is gone in a shimmer of hololight, leaving Boya alone in an ancient forest that is slowly fading away around him. "Bastard," Boya swears with feeling. "I'm going to catch you if it's the last thing I do." The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And happy ITVE, Keeper of Seeds. Hopefully you've enjoyed this Podfic. Thank you.